Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon and good evening to those who are listening in and are based in other time zones. Thank you for joining us today for our dial-in discussion regarding the Asia Foundation's flagship program, Books for Asia. 1 million books, 18 countries, and countless lives changed. I'm Naina Agrawal, Director of Corporate and Foundation Relations with the Asia Foundation, and I will be serving as the facilitator for this call. Before I introduce you to the Asia Foundation and our first speaker, I'd like to run over a few housekeeping items. This call will run approximately 1 hour long with a Q&A portion toward the end that we will welcome your participation in. Throughout the call, you can email Lena Buell at L-B-U-E-L-L, that's two L's at the end, at asiafound.org. And this email address is provided on the bottom of slide two for your convenience, so you can reference that email address throughout the call. And you can email her with questions for the Q&A portion throughout the call. Number two, please view the PowerPoint you've received in slideshow mode. And to do that, you may either hit F5 or access View Show and then via the slideshow menu. Excuse me, let me say that again. You may access the slideshow mode of the PowerPoint by hitting F5 or access View Show via the slideshow menu. Please call Lena at 415-743-3381. If you have any questions on that matter. We will do our best to inform you which slide we're referencing, particularly as we jump from speaker to speaker. And speaking of the PowerPoint, an agenda can be found on the second slide of the PowerPoint for your reference. This slide is followed by a list on slide three of all of our speakers with our glamour shots, whom I will introduce throughout the call. And if you are having trouble hearing us, please press star four to raise the volume. And press that twice to reduce the volume. Again, if you are experiencing any logistical technical difficulties, if you have any questions of any kind or would like to submit a question for the Q&A portion, please do contact Lena Buell at any time during this call at lbuell@asiafound.org or at 415-743-3381. Okay. With the housekeeping items out of the way, I'll now share a brief description of who we are. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Asia Foundation, we are a nonprofit, non-governmental organization committed to the development of a peaceful, prosperous, just, and open Asia-Pacific region. For over 50 years, the Foundation has supported programs in Asia that help improve governance, law and civil society, women's empowerment, economic reform and development, international relations, and of course, access to quality education. With offices throughout Asia, an office in DC, and its headquarters in San Francisco, the Foundation addresses these issues on both a country and regional level. Asia Foundation is not an endowed organization and depends solely on monetary contributions from our donors to accomplish its work. Please turn your attention now to slides four and five. As I mentioned at the top of this call, the Asia Foundation's signature program is Books for Asia and is as old as the Asia Foundation itself, 55 years to be exact. In 2008, Books for Asia distributed over 1 million brand new and in-demand books and educational materials valued at $41 million throughout Asia. Today's world leaders and visionaries, such as Nobel Peace Prize winner and Grameen Bank founder Muhammad Yunus, and former Chief Justice of the Philippines, Hilario Davide, counted on Books for Asia texts as young students. Books for Asia's presence across Asia is vast and pervasive. Our books reach some of the most remote locations in Asia where marginalized populations reside. Having introduced you to the Asia Foundation and Books for Asia, I'd now like to turn your attention to our first speaker, Melody Zavala, Director of Books for Asia. Melody joined the Asia Foundation in 1999. Prior to the Asia Foundation, Melody worked for Catholic Relief Services as their country director in Russia. There, she led a team to provide emergency humanitarian aid to 1.5 million Russian citizens and managed a program valued at $54 million. Before working for Catholic Relief Services in Russia, she was based in Kolkata, India, where, as the project manager, she collaborated with partners on emergency relief and long-term development projects in 12 states in India. Melody is conversant in Spanish and Russian, earned her BA in political science from UCLA, and her MA in international relations from Columbia University. And without further ado, I welcome Melody to the call. Audience members, please turn your attention to slide 6. Melody?
Well, thank you, Nina, and I'd like to add my welcome to everyone on the call. I'm just so pleased to have the opportunity to share my passion about Books for Asia with you. It's a program I feel truly privileged to work for. So to set the scene, we thought we'd start with a few statistics, and I know that statistics put some people to sleep, but for me and my staff, they actually drive us to work hard to change the status quo. So let's just remind ourselves that half of the world's 6.5 billion people live in Asia, and Asia has nearly 700 million illiterate people, so that's 75% of the world's illiterate population. South Asia alone has 35 million children who are not in school, over half of whom are girls. And in Asia, an estimated 600 million children live without basic needs, such as food, water, and shelter. In 2002, the Asian Development Bank came out with a revised definition of poverty that says, in addition to food, water, and shelter, one of the defining characteristics of poverty is the deprivation of basic education and the inability of poor individuals to participate in the decisions that shape their lives. For all these reasons, universal primary education by the year 2015 is one of the UN Millennium Development Goals. It's because education is a critical factor in decreasing poverty, in reducing injustice, and in driving economic growth. Investing in education around the world is not only the right thing to do, it is also the smart thing to do. Earlier this year, President Obama made a statement that articulates an insight that many of us working in the field of international education are aware of, and this is what he said. Unless we are concerned about the education of all children, not only may we be depriving ourselves of the next great scientist, but we also may make people around the world much more vulnerable to anti-American propaganda. So I think the next section we're talking about is the power of a book. And I've kind of subtitled this myself, Why Books, Why Asia, Why Books for Asia. And now we are on slide 7. Well, I think we've addressed the why Asia part when we consider that 75% of the world's illiterate population lives there. But why books? Well, books are one of the most basic inputs to education, and high-quality books are beyond the reach of average citizens, families, and even many local and national governments in developing parts of Asia. To help solve this problem, Books for Asia sends over 1 million books a year to 18 countries. We send about 55 shipments a year out of our warehouse in California, and these shipments are met at Asian ports by Books for Asia staff. The books we donate, they're generously donated from some of the world's leading publishers. They're brand new books that bring contemporary research and ideas to some of the world's most remote places. We do this because we know that access to information, children with access to information, children, educators, and leaders can be inspired. With these books, their imaginations can be ignited, their critical thinking skills can be sharpened, and their understanding of the world and their role in it can be broadened. Through Books for Asia, we can help close the information gap between the West and the developing world, and between urban and rural communities within countries in Asia. Without information, it's hard to do this. So we donate books in local languages, and Books for Asia believes that countries should nurture and maintain their national languages. The majority of books that Books for Asia provides are in English. This is our niche. And why? Well, I'll tell you why. Simply, Books for Asia is swamped with requests. Books in English. These books people cannot find locally. They can't afford to buy them often. And so this is the niche that we have and the access we have coming from the United States. Education in English is on the top of many Asian nations' development agendas. Almost every country in Asia now requires or encourages an English language component in its education system. Leaders realize that in order for their country to fully participate in the world of business and diplomacy, their citizens must be able to function in English. So for better or worse, in these modern times, English has become important. 80% of all internet software and traffic is now conducted in English. And for better or worse, the latest research in most fields and industries is published in English first. So just to bring you up to date, we're now on slides 8 and 9. And it's not just governments or people who already speak English that feel this way, but educators and families in Asia want this access to information too. They want their children to learn English and be well educated in their mother tongue in order to be able to qualify for a broader range of higher paying jobs, in order to improve their family's standard of living, in order to know their legal rights and their local communities. And for girls, being educated means that they can be treated more equally and raise a healthier and more educated family of their own. So moving on now, I think we'll just talk about how Books for Asia works a little bit, how we deal with all these challenges. In each of the 18 countries where we work, the Asia Foundation has an office and very experienced local staff who implement the Books for Asia program. Our staff truly has their fingers on the pulse of the country's educational, economic, and political situation. They're locals. They were raised in the countries they work in, and they are very cognizant of the local situations. They strategically determine where Books for Asia can have the most impact, and they continually seek out populations and institutions that are most in need of books. So even though we've been at this for a long time, we have a fresh approach and continually are looking for institutions that need these books. Our staff in each country also identifies where mobile libraries, teacher training, and special projects can improve access to education. But, you know, sourcing the books and delivering the books is really just the beginning. We conduct due diligence and we evaluate how the books are being used to make adjustments and to make sure we're running a tight and accountable program worth everyone's efforts and worth our donors' trust. I'll say that Books for Asia is unique in that we donate books to all ages and at all levels of learning. We operate on the premise that by donating books to both today's leaders and tomorrow's leaders, and by simultaneously providing information to the general public in some of the most impoverished pockets of the world, we are helping to create an empowered population that across all segments together will have the momentum and the tools to take charge of their lives. So what this means is that in addition to schools and orphanages, we simultaneously donate books to public libraries, to citizen groups working on a broad range of issues, such as small business development, citizens' rights, women's equality, environmental stewardship, whatever the local issues are that are important in the countries where we're working. We also deliver books to universities, legal institutions, medical institutions, and advanced research institutes in every field of study, as well as to government ministries and public policy agencies. Basically, we try to make available the most recent information on a wide variety of vital topics to anyone who is interested and to everyone who is making decisions that impact their communities. So I hope that gives you a bit of a flavor about Books for Asia, why we do what we do, and how we do it.
Great. Thank you, Melody. I now would like to direct the audience's attention to slides 10 through 12, which will provide you some background information on Sri Lanka. And you'll find there some striking statistics as well as images of this country on those slides. And because Melody spoke a bit about our work across Asia, we thought we'd now drill down and focus on our work in one country. And to highlight the history and impact of Books for Asia in Sri Lanka, I welcome Anton Nalatambi to the call. As director of Books for Asia Sri Lanka for 29 years, Anton has overseen the distribution of 3.4 million brand new and requested books to orphanages, primary schools, universities, and other beneficiaries. A native of Sri Lanka, Anton holds a diploma in library science from the University of Colombo and became a chartered librarian after completing a 3-year accreditation program with the Sri Lanka Library Association, for which he serves as treasurer, assistant secretary, and vice president for over 20 years. Anton speaks English, Sinhala, and Tamil. And for those of you who are following along the PowerPoint, please now turn to slide 13. Anton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Naina. Good morning, everyone. As Naina mentioned, I am Anton, and I have served as the Books for Asia Sri Lanka director for 29 years. Over the years, I have personally handed books to thousands of children, young adults, and organizations that have made a lasting difference in my country's development. Since 1954, Books for Asia Sri Lanka has distributed over 4 million brand new and in-demand texts on universal knowledge, mainly concentrating on English as a second language, literature, politics, sociology, mathematics, medicine, science, world history, as well as storybooks for children. Let me first properly introduce you to my country. Sri Lanka is a tropical island in the Indian Ocean, rich in natural resources, with a stunning landscape complete with bright green tea plantations, lucid blue waves that surfaces from around the world come to conquer. I am proud to say that 92% of our 20 million inhabitants are literate, yet we face considerable disparities in education between the urban and rural areas. In addition, natural and man-made disasters have plagued my country. So how does Books for Asia Sri Lanka strive to address the numerous challenges that plague my country's educational system? We have a three-pronged approach. Number one, distributing consistently and continuously. Number two, responding strategically and swiftly to natural and man-made disasters. Number three, engaging and mobilizing donors. Distributing consistently and continuously. We distribute books across the entire country to reach all socio-economic levels. We reach approximately 800 schools, colleges, public libraries, non-profit advocacy groups, and public agencies. During the war, when the road in northern Sri Lanka were blocked, Books for Asia maintains its distribution, reaching these institutions by air or sea with the help of the Sri Lankan government. Our uninterrupted distribution allowed students to continue their studies and for the others in the conflict zone to escape from their harsh reality via our books. Responding to strategically and swiftly to natural and man-made disasters. Many of you know that northeastern Sri Lanka suffered from a 30-year civil war. Since it ended early this year, many families, including thousands of children, await resettlement and currently reside in internally displaced people's camp. These children need to have access to regular and quality education. We know that the younger child's education is disrupted, the less likely he or she is to ever return to school. The consequence of this, entering adulthood illiterate and without skills to enter the formal job market, damages the individual, the community, and the country's economic and political stability. Altogether, to date, we have distributed 3,500 books to children in the internally displaced camps, providing them with textbooks and other reading materials that will help them prepare for end of the school year exams that are necessary to advance in the Sri Lankan education system. And we plan to grow our support to an additional 5,000 children. Another tragedy that my country has weathered is the 2004 tsunami. South and East Sri Lanka lost 38,000 lives, 80,000 homes, 200 schools, and many libraries. With our corporate partners, Books for Asia Sri Lanka established 4 mobile libraries to visit the most indigent population. 5 years later, the mobile libraries continue to serve populations which have yet to fully recover, engaging and mobilizing donors in our community. Books for Asia believes that all members of the community are change agents and that partnering with corporate sponsors and other aid organizations fortifies our cause. We are eternally grateful to our physical sponsors, including the Sri Lanka Telecom, which has covered our in-country expenses of transportation, freight, and labor cost. Their faith in us and shared commitment to serving communities in need has allowed Books for Asia Sri Lanka to reach more children, support more marginalized people, and respond in a timely manner to catastrophic events. The long-lasting benefits of the Books for Asia program is immeasurable, as through the long years. It has imparted the greatest gift of all to mankind, including my countrymen. That is the gift of knowledge and the wisdom it brings. I have put these facts before you as briefly as best as I can during a limited time to ask you to ponder about these gifts of lifetime that comes into the form of books, and how you can support the continuance and maintenance of the Books for Asia program in Sri Lanka. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your patient listening.
Great. Thank you, Anton. And, of course, I'm biased because I've had the pleasure of working with Anton here at the Asia Foundation, but I must say that both he and our next speaker, I personally thank you so much for speaking for us live from Sri Lanka, where it's getting close to 10 p.m. your time, so no one can question your loyalty and commitment to this program. So, again, thank you, Anton. Now,
thank you very much.
Now, please email us at the address at the bottom of slide 2 with your questions for Anton as well as for the following speakers. Anton touched upon the importance of private sector support for Books for Asia. And we're delighted today to have a long-time and significant donor to Books for Asia in Sri Lanka with us, Ms. Vijeta Ratnayake, Deputy Chief Corporate Officer, Sri Lanka Telecom, is joining us today, no less from Sri Lanka, to tell us a bit about why Sri Lanka Telecom partnered with Books for Asia and how this partnership has helped Sri Lanka Telecom achieve their CSR, or Corporate Social Responsibility, goals. An engineer who holds an MBA, Vijeta has been with Sri Lanka Telecom since 1982. And Vijeta, I'll now turn it over to you.
Hi. Good morning. I would like to start with a small background of our company, the Sri Lanka Telecom Group. It is one of the country's most valuable blue chip companies. The group has a customer base of over 4 million, including multinational corporations, large and small corporates, retail and domestic customers. Today, Sri Lanka Telecom provides facilities and services of voice, data, video, IPTV, and mobile to its customers, which are unmatched in scope. So, in line with the our corporate social responsibilities, Sri Lanka Telecom focuses in broad areas like IT knowledge education, and English language skills, nature conservation, empowering sports, and uplifting of arts and culture. So in line with our theme, the education, so we actually join hands with Asia Foundation to spread the wealth of knowledge across Sri Lanka. So since 2002, Sri Lanka Telecom began to actively engage in the program by assisting financial support. The initial target was to bring the number of books distributed to 100,000 per year. Sri Lanka Telecom is the biggest contributor so far and has already become the catalyst to drive the distribution of these books in Sri Lanka. As this has become one of the main corporate social responsibility initiatives, and we are trying to foster knowledge and improve literacy levels of the school children as well as the others, like those people who are used in the public libraries and even other libraries. So Books for Asia Sri Lanka annually puts 100,000 new books and resources into the hands of students, educators, and community leaders. For the very first time in the history of both Sri Lanka Telecom and Asia Foundation, the Braille books were distributed in the year 2008 to the Ceylon School for the Deaf and Blind in somewhere near Colombo. Sri Lanka Telecom has been passionate and committed towards providing a more conducive environment that will bridge the digital divide in the country by providing easy access to information and creating equal opportunities for education for all. So actually this has been realized together with the Asia Foundation. We have been working to accomplish this task, and we are actually reaching the rural areas. We are more especially concentrating on the rural areas of Sri Lanka, And then we need, actually, now we are mostly concentrating around this north and east areas where actually we had earlier the war. Now it has been settled. So we now try to send a lot of books to north and east areas because that is what we thought actually we need to educate these people because they are without a lot of, they don't have this much of resources as in Colombo. So now for this year itself, together with the Asia Foundation, we have distributed 73,000 for the first half of this year. And we have even still continuing with the distribution of the Braille books, even to the universities. And we have reached about around 200 rural area institutions, and we have distributed more than 5,000 books to the rural areas also. And here in this year, the spreading the wealth of knowledge goes hand in hand with the 2009 theme, the Year of English and IT. It has been declared by His Excellency the President Mahinda Rajapaksha. So we are actually doing a kind of a social responsibility, which also in line with the with our HE, the president. So, and actually we thought is like some of the books that we are getting from Asia Foundation is in the rural areas, they haven't even seen that kind of a quality books. Because in Colombo, it is reachable because anybody can go and buy the books. But when it comes to rural areas, it's very difficult. So that is why we are trying to send all the, most of the books to the rural areas. Even some of the parents, the teachers, they have not seen even the books like this quality books. That is why we thought that we should go in hand with Asia Foundation, and we have been with them since 2002, and we would like to continue with them in future too. And then we are trying to increase the number of books distributed like year by year. Last year we had 120,000 and this year 130,000. And next year we will be like to increase it maybe to 150,000. And we are like financially assisting as well as we try to assist in other ways also. We are like seeking and exploring the possibility of how we could assist the book program and then for them to reach the rural and the unreached people. So still there are so many other areas that we could go for and we could do so many things. So we are exploring with the Asia Foundation and we are happily working with them because they also know where to distribute and where to go. So and they plan it very well. So we are happy with their program. So that is why we are continually assisting them. So thank you very much for listening.
Great. Thank you, Vijeta. And I can see how you and Anton get along so well because you're both incredibly ambitious. Those are some very, very formidable and impressive numbers that you shared with us. And again, thank you for your time, especially at this late hour. And thank you, Sri Lanka Telecom, for your continued and generous support of Books for Asia in Sri Lanka. We'll now turn our attention to another type of partner, a program partner with Room to Read. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with Room to Read, but I'll tell you a little bit about it just for those who may not be familiar. Founded in 2000, Room to Read partners with local communities in 9 countries to establish libraries, create local language children's literature, construct schools, and provide education to girls. Books for Asia and Room to Read began collaborating in Nepal in 2002, and we currently collaborate in 5 Asian countries, including in Sri Lanka. After the 2004 tsunami, one of Room to Read's publisher donors, Scholastic, provided 300,000 books to help restock devastated schools and libraries. And since Room to Read was new to Sri Lanka at that time, we collaborated closely to ship and distribute the books to the most severely affected areas. And since then, in addition to the distinct projects that Books for Asia and Room to Read each manage on their own, the two organizations continue to collaborate in Sri Lanka to distribute about 50,000 books a year to more than 450 school libraries and teacher resource center libraries. And I'll stop there and let Steve Zimmerman, COO of Room to Read, whom we're delighted to have with us today and whom I'm told has had three cups of coffee already this morning, share additional details. Steve has more than 25 years of senior and executive level experience in the field of international development. Prior to joining Room to Read, Steve was the Chief Operating Officer and Program Vice President for Mercy Corps. He also worked for Save the Children, AFS Intercultural Programs, and the Medical and Health Research Association of New York City. He's a graduate of the University of Southern California and has also studied at the Université de Tunis in Tunisia and Université de Grenoble in France. And I hope I did not butcher those, Steve. Steve, welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And hello to everyone. An appreciation also for our Sri Lankan colleagues who are indeed on this call at a very late hour. It's a pleasure to be on this call. It's a deep pleasure to talk about the relationship and the collaboration between Room to Read and the Asia Foundation and the Books for Asia program. This is clearly an example of where 1 + 1 is going to be greater than 2. And as the previous colleagues talked about, we were discussing a bit about how the books actually are put into the various programs throughout Asia. We're now on slide number 16. I just got my reminder. Room to Read, as Nina mentioned, Room to Read entered Sri Lanka in just after the tsunami in 2004. Throughout the country, as we work to establish the libraries and to equip them, we have started our local language publishing program, and we have actually then looked at what the book requirements are in the libraries. What we have heard over and over again as we travel throughout the country, every school administrator, every teacher tells us we need more books. More than anything else, we need more books. There is a clear indication in a country like Sri Lanka, with its commitment to an early English language capability with the students. The English is seen as a unifying force where language can actually divide. It is seen as essential in the global economy that puts more and more attention to the fact that people actually need to communicate in English. So the combination of our local language publishing, essentially storybooks in a local language for young children, combined with English language texts that range from children's storybooks all the way up to fairly complex textbooks, is an absolute win-win situation for Sri Lanka and elsewhere where we collaborate throughout Asia. So I think this is one of the areas in which, as we move forward, we will continue to build upon that collaboration. We are planning to, responding to the cessation of hostilities in Sri Lanka, the ability to go back in and assist with the recovery process, we are planning to enter the Manar district in early 2010. Manar is in the northwest part of the country. It is a district that is, to a certain extent, divided. Part of it remained pretty much outside of the conflict zone, but most of it was definitely affected by the conflict. We are now undertaking an assessment in the area. We're planning to move in there and do our standard program of schools, establishing libraries, equipping those libraries, building our local language publishing, and also, very definitely, looking for the support and continued collaboration with Books for Asia in order to bring these essential, absolutely essential assets to these children who have been, for the most part, a large number of them have been outside of formal schooling for many years. And we feel an obligation now to actually reestablish the schools, the libraries, and their ability to access good books. So I think I will stop at that point and let it carry on.
Great. Thank you so much, Steve. And again, please send your questions to Lena at her email address on slide 2, as we're but a few minutes away from the Q&A portion of this call. And I'd like for everyone now to direct their attention to slide 17, which should be the slide entitled How You Can Get Involved. And I'll just quickly run over this as it's pretty self-explanatory, but just pointing out and highlighting the various ways you can get involved with Books for Asia. So at the very top of the slide, you'll see that under the Sponsor a Books for Asia activity bullet, we have links to the Books for Asia Fund, and then for publishers in specific, a click here for donation info, so how you can get involved with in-kind and hard dollar distributions and donations. Then we have the bullet where we say refer colleagues or your employer, and this is really important because so much of what we do is not about just donations, but getting our name out there and having people learn about the importance of the distribution of brand new and in-demand books. So please share what you learned today about Books for Asia with those who you think would be interested in learning about us. And then finally, we have visiting the following links, which includes the corporate and foundation partners. And at that link, you'll see different partnerships that we've acquired over the years with various corporations and foundations, not only for Books for Asia, but including Books for Asia. So you'll get a sense of the various different initiatives the Asia Foundation is involved with private sector support. And right underneath that, you'll see individual giving. Finally, at the very bottom of the slide, you'll learn about how you can learn more about the Asia Foundation through our newsletter and through our blog, and you can subscribe to both of those at your leisure. So now we are going to open up the conversation to some Q&A, and we have actually received a few questions. Let me see, where should we begin? Our first question is, does Books for Asia provide text to individuals in addition to providing text to institutions? I'll direct that to Melody.
Okay. We do get requests, definitely, from individuals, but our policy is that we provide books to institutions. And these can be a variety of institutions that we've already talked about, from schools to public libraries to nonprofit groups. The reason we provide books to institutions is there's an accountability there. We believe that the books we're providing should be able to reach the most highest number of people possible. So one of our requirements is that the institutions that receive these books make them available to the public or their constituency. And we have a responsibility to our donors to make sure that those books are accessible and that they are having the greatest impact. So it would be very hard for us to check up on individuals and go through various requests and really verify their need. So we think by going through institutions, we're able to really have the greatest impact. However, individuals actually can still make it happen. You know, usually the individuals that we're approached by might be university students or other people. And so what we tell them is, you know, please tell your institution about our program. Here's the contact information. This is what you need to tell them and have them contact our institution. And at the same time, when we get those requests, I put I put the people who make the request in direct contact with our staff in those countries and say, here's an institution or here's a person associated with this institution that says they need books. Would you please check it out? So kind of that push-pull factor can therefore, you know, start with an individual but actually make sure that the books can then go to an institution that that individual is associated with and therefore benefit more than that one person. So that's the way we work.
Great. Thank you, Melody. Our next question, I believe, is directed to Anton and Vijetha. It is, how is Books for Asia – oh, and excuse me, also to Room to Read. How is Books for Asia and Room to Read making college education more accessible to Sri Lankans? Anton, do you want to take the lead on that?
Yeah. Well, we have been distributing books to around 250 to 300 schools in Sri Lanka, mostly, as Vijitha mentioned, it's rural schools. And what we do is when we have suitable books, we invite them to the Books for Asia showroom so that we believe that they know best as to what to select and the appropriateness of the books, because we have a wide variety of selection of primary, secondary books. And so the qualifying institutions are requested to come to the Books for Asia showroom. The principal and the teachers come and they go through our books, and with the help of our staff, with my books officer and books assistant, they will go through these books and select the suitable books available at the Books for Asia showroom for their school libraries. And this is how we try to develop the school libraries in my country. And also when we, it's vice versa, when we see suitable books, specialized books which will be useful for certain institutions like very specific schools, then we will also invite them to come. So it actually builds up both ways. We do invite and they do also contact. And these are, this is the two ways that we try to have development in the school library system of this country. We also work very closely with the Sri Lanka Library Association, who is involved with school library development, and also with the Sri Lanka National Library Services Board, the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Higher Education. So these are institutions that are involved in the development of school libraries, and we as a Books for Asia program of the Asia Foundation work very closely with these organizations to develop these school libraries. Thank you.
Great. Steve?
Yes, on the, actually on the question of college education, Room to Read is actually focused primarily on the primary schools. And our belief is that by focusing on children at that age, on focusing on getting their reading skills imbued at a very early age, their actual ability to read well, to develop all of those literacy skills, will go much further toward them being able to take better control over their future education. So it's less inclined to go toward older students, but laying the foundation at a very, very early age for their ability to move forward pretty much on their own.
Okay, great. Thank you. Another caller asks, Melody mentioned that Books for Asia measures how donated books are used. How do you measure this, and what have you learned about its usage?
Well, that's a great question. It's, you know, measuring impact is one of the hardest things I think any organization working in the field of development has to deal with, but it's important. There's a number of ways we measure impact, and really none of them are good enough, and we're working on that. But I'd say the most, the first kind of line of control is that, you know, we're in constant contact with the institutions that we're working with, and we require reports from them and that kind of thing. The second line of control is that our staff visit many of these institutions. You know, we can't visit every institution every year because the number of institutions that we're assisting is very great. But there's no substitute for the personal visit of staff, who they actually record the results of what they find when they visit institutions. And when they're visiting an institution, they talk not only to the staff, but they talk to students and whatever the constituency of that organization is. If they're at a library, they'll talk to patrons. They'll look at library circulation records. They'll talk to, like I mentioned, students and the constituents, and they'll kind of note it all down. Our staff even visits markets in whatever town they're in to make sure the books haven't ended up there. And I'm happy to say that we've had very few incidents of that. So those personal visits make a big difference. Another thing I think that Anton touched on, in many countries, the institutions that we're providing the books to actually send staff to the Books for Asia storerooms to select the books themselves. This requires actually quite a lot of effort. It sounds like an easy thing in the West, but in the developing world, to leave your rural village and travel all the way maybe to the capital city, or to send a representative that you've really talked to about what you need and want, is really requires a lot of effort on the part of that institution. So they're only going to undertake this if it's worth their effort. So that's another thing that we do. And we're creating a more formal system so that we can actually articulate this better and lay out percentages and all kinds of things. But really, what I would say in terms of measuring impact is that the other thing we are doing and that we need to do more of is doing training with teachers and librarians so that they can take this material and use it in good ways and really expose their constituencies to the fact that they have this material. Libraries don't always tend to function like they do here in the West, where you know, people see it as their job to really do outreach and to encourage people to participate and find ways to meet them where they are and bring them into the libraries. So you know, what we're looking at is developing more projects like that, more private funding to help us do that on a broader scale, and then to build evaluation on impact into those projects.
Great. Thank you, Melody. I think this next question is directed to both Anton and to Melody. The audience member says, what outreach programs do you have to get groups of people exposed to Books for Asia in a more structured and or deliberate manner? Or is the program's primary focus to get donations from corporations?
You want to start?
I can add to that, just as the Director of Corporate and Foundation Relations, I can say that the focus is definitely not on the donations. It's a way to keep the program thriving and growing in areas where we have challenges and meeting the different on-the-ground needs. So it's a way of supporting the program, but the focus is definitely on the distribution of the brand new and in-demand books. I've had the pleasure of working with several corporations as well as foundations that support our mission, but while we are very, very grateful for our corporate donors, the focus is definitely on the program and not on the dollars. And Anton and or Melody, do you want to take a lead about the outreach program?
I'll just mention something, and actually it'd be great if Anton would speak about within country in Sri Lanka how they let people know about the program. Here, from my base over here, we try to give a lot of information on our website. We reach out to publishers about what we need, and we're trying to reach out more to the public. I think we've spent a lot of years, 55 to be exact, you know, operating this program and making it hum on the ground and reach new institutions and individuals that need these books, but at the expense of probably not doing enough on the Western side and letting people know about the program. So we're stepping that up now by doing things like these webinars, doing different kinds of events and different kinds of outreach on our website in various ways. So stay tuned for more about that. I think we're getting more sophisticated about that. And in fact, at the end of this month, if you go to our website, www.booksforasia.org, individuals can actually vote for a favorite children's book to send to a country in Asia. And then we're going to film that distribution so they can actually see what I get to see, which is to be on the ground and see that those books actually reach those kids and to see what joy it brings them, see those expressions on their face. And that's, you know, of course, one of the really satisfying parts of the job. So I think that will help get the word out when people can actually participate to the extent possible from their very own desktops. And then maybe Anton would like to speak on the ground about how they do that. And then Room to Read has a fantastic outreach in the United States as well.
Well, in Sri Lanka, we have a good outreach because, as you know, Asia Foundation's most popular outreach visible program is the Books for Asia program, and it is called the Sri Lanka, it's the foundation's signature program. And since it has been functioning from 1954, and as we have distributed more than 4 million books, the institutions that we that in Sri Lanka have libraries, they all know about the Asia Foundation. And it's most of the time 90% of the requests come from the institutions itself asking for English language books on various subjects. So we don't do much of advertising because we are very well known. We have marketed our program very well. And most of the higher institutions in Sri Lanka, particularly the universities and professional institutions, depend on the Asia Foundation books for many new courses of curriculum which they have developed, particularly in the field of management, business administration, marketing, English language teaching, and so forth. So I believe that Asia Foundation is very popular because of the Books for Asia program, because of the widespread reach that we have. And most of the professionals and highly educated people in this country know about the Asia Foundation's books program because in some stage of their education, they would have gone through our Asia Foundation books, and they still remember. And the remembrance goes on to take that they will be introducing us to many other institutions which need of our books to collect books from the Books for Asia program for any new libraries that is being developed in the country. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Anton. Steve, do you have anything to add to that?
Not a lot, only to say that I think Room to Read is fairly well established in the 9 countries where it is operating, 7 of which are in Asia. And we are well known within the country. The demand for what we provide, and in particular the libraries and the books, is extremely high, and much more, of course, than we're able to meet. Outside of those countries, in terms of the work we do in reaching out to supporters within the United States and the other countries where we undertake fundraising efforts on behalf of the organization, we have a fairly simple message that we talk about. It resonates with people, and I think we have managed to figure out how to package a program that meets the direct needs of the communities in which we're working in terms of a reading skills agenda, in terms of an educational agenda for the students in the communities in which we work.
Great. Our next question, is from a caller who says, I think the question is directed to Vijeta. Vijeta, how did Sri Lanka Telecom learn about Books for Asia?
Now we have been earlier the recipient of the book program. I could remember when I was joining the Sri Lanka Telecom in 1982, I was at the training center, and we used to come to the Asia Foundation office, and then their storeroom, and then we used to select books for our libraries. So that is how we got involved with them. So it's from 1982 I started, and then with that, like every year we used to come here, so every year it's kind of a timetable. So we used to call Anton and ask him whether the books have come, and he says yes, and then we just come in. And even we promoted even the the employees' children. So we tell employees to tell their teachers, the schools, so for them to come and collect books. So that way also we are also spreading this idea, the books that are available at the Asia Foundation. When Asia Foundation doesn't go, we send them here. So everybody, word of mouth, it goes right and round. So with that we started getting books for the Sri Lanka Telecom. And then we thought, okay, because Asia Foundation also had needed funds, and then we thought this is a worthy cause because it's a kind of giving books to the – we first saw that giving books to the school children. So we need to start anything from the school children, from the lower level. So we thought, okay, it's a worthy cause of joining hands with Asia Foundation for this program.
Great, Vijeta, thank you. And our next question is a two-pronged question, I believe. First part of it is, can you tell me a little bit more about the origin of the Books for Asia and Room to Read partnership, and what are some of the challenges that both Books for Asia and Room to Read face in 2010? Melody and Steve, why don't you take the lead on that?
But as we mentioned earlier, the relationship between the two organizations goes back now 7 years. Over time, we figured out how to better align both programs to ensure that the books that we see as demand are the ones that the organizations are actually sourcing. And this is one of the things that we do test on a regular basis, is what books are actually being read by the children. So we, like I say, we've kind of refined how we interact with one another over time. I think we will continue to grow that collaboration. I talked earlier about the need now to move into the north and eastern parts of Sri Lanka, which is definitely on our plate for 2010. And the fact that we are able to marry the two programs, the fact that we will do a lot of the on-the-ground infrastructure work, and Books for Asia will be able to provide a lot of the essential educational materials, the books that will actually help these children get back into school and get back on a regular educational track.
Well, I guess I'll just add to that. No, it's a fantastic partnership. It's great that we're both here in San Francisco, and we have the same mission and passion about education. So, and we have a very much a get things done a philosophy, I think, in both organizations. So it's a very practical partnership. And it goes back to the very beginning of Room to Read. I think there were some early discussions early on when John Wood was just starting. But it's been great. And the complementarity of the two organizations in terms of working and then working through with a child's life and a citizen as they take on leadership roles or can affect their communities. The partnership of the two strands that we come from, I think, is very good. In terms of challenges we faced in 2010, definitely in Sri Lanka, there's a lot to be done in terms of reaching these really a generation of children, many of which have been exposed to violence their whole life and have been out of school or had their school interrupted just consistently. And we'll be working together to address that, to reach more areas, to help even rebuild, not facilities, the stocks in books and the philosophy towards education. In general, Books for Asia, some of the challenges we face in 2010 and years beyond is just to continue to increase the diversity of the books that we're able to source and provide. There's huge demand for books in English, in medicine, in law, in engineering, vocational training, sciences, and also the social sciences. I mean, people really want to have exposure to this information that's on a wide variety of topics that just isn't available where they live. So it could be pleasurable reading in terms of opening up your eyes and enjoying some of the best things that are written in the world. But it can also be very things that you can apply in terms of improving your job opportunities. So we're really still scratching the surface in attracting a variety of publishers to help us provide this information that we take so much for granted here. And then our other challenge is being able to round out the programs with dollars that help us provide the training that help us reach remote areas with mobile libraries and things like that, and all that takes, of course, extra funding. So our challenge is, you know, there's a lot of demand out there, and we try to make good decisions about what we can and cannot do, and we have to be very disciplined about that in order to be responsible. But, you know, our challenge is with more money we can do more things, so we love to be able to meet more of the demand and fulfill some of the objectives and dreams that we have. Things that we're aware need to be done and that are on our list and we hope to get to, you know, in the years ahead.
Great. Anton, Steve, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would like to say that the first partnership we had with Room to Read was just after the tsunami, as one of the speakers mentioned. We got for two containers of books from Scholastic Publishers, which at that time Room to Read was just started its office here, and they didn't have much of facilities to clear those books on a duty-free basis. And as the Asia Foundation was already established and well established here, we collaborated with Room to Read and we cleared the books through Asia Foundation and gave 50% of the books to Room to Read and 50% of the books to be distributed by Asia Foundation. So that was a great partnership that we had, particularly after tsunami, for giving these books to the tsunami-affected libraries and many other rural libraries. So I think that was a good collaboration, and we should be able to do the same thing as the Room to Read Chief of Staff mentioned, CEO mentioned, that when we are developing libraries in the, particularly in the north, after the civil war that we have had for 30 years. So I think that partnership will be great when we can do the distribution of books together to develop these libraries, particularly in the north and the east.
Anton, you have an amazing memory. I don't know how you remember all these facts and all these dates. I'm constantly impressed. Steve, would you like to add anything to that?
I think it's been covered.
Okay, well, we're getting close to the end of the hour, and I don't want to hold folks. So before I take our last question, I'll just remind you all to flip through the rest of the PowerPoint, because As I always say, don't take our word for it. Take it from those who have actually benefited firsthand from the program, and we've tried to include various accounts of beneficiaries across Asia of Books for Asia with testimonies and photos, so you can all look at that and see what particularly resonates with you. And then finally, whether or not we get to your questions, we've gotten to all the questions, actually, but if you have other questions, burning questions, questions that come up later on as you think about Books for Asia, please don't hesitate to contact both Melody and myself, and we're happy to direct questions to Steve, Anton, and Vijayta as well. So the last question that we have here is, are there any resources available to train librarians? You touched upon this briefly. Can you expand your answer? And it's for Books for Asia. So Melody and Anton, would you like to respond to that question?
Sure. We do a lot with a little. So there are opportunities to provide training to librarians and teachers that really, in some cases, don't require much money. You get every organization to do what they're supposed to be doing already anyway. You kind of get them matchmake behind the scenes and get it going. But sometimes it really takes an organization like ours to come in and say, you know, what do you think you need to do? Here's some other ideas. Let's do this together. And that does require funding. So in Sri Lanka, I'll let Anton address that. But for Books for Asia at large, I'll say that we actually just had an individual giving campaign that provided us that was successful and a nice matching grant. And I think we'll be using some of that money to provide training by local institutions in Asia or other institutions in Asia to see some of the things they can do to really help, actually to help inspire a desire for literacy and a desire for reading, a culture of reading in some places where it's just not, hasn't been developed as much. Because with that impetus, then people can take charge of their own reading and their own learning. And sometimes you need to kind of create demand. For example, in Timor-Leste, where we have a little mobile library, Timor-Leste is a country that's very undeveloped, especially the minute you step outside the capital, you're back in time. And when a mobile library comes to a village out there, it is an event. You know, everyone is aware that it's there. It's exciting. It's the most exciting thing that's happened recently. And so that really creates a demand and excitement to look at these books and think about reading and, you know, get excited about it. And then that has all kinds of implications in terms of what happens next in that village. So I would just say that we do training. We need to do more training. And I'll just leave it there.
And Anton, did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, I think as Melody mentioned, I think donating books and training librarians goes hand in hand. I think in the past, the Asia Foundation has helped the Sri Lanka Library Association and also the University of Kelaniya, which conducts library science courses to sponsor students. Actually, what we do is we pick up, when we have had a little bit of extra money, we used to pick up students from public libraries and universities and school libraries and sponsor them to these courses. Wherever we have given our books, donated our books to these particular institutions. So I think we can do a lot, and that's an area where I would love the Books for Asia to take a lead role. If we do have some extra money, as Melody mentioned, because we have a lot of training institutions that are involved in library teaching, like the University of Colombo, which has a master's level program, and the Sri Lanka Library Association, as you mentioned, has a chartered librarianship program, and we have other diploma courses and certificate courses which are conducted at the University of Kelaniya and also other institutions, so at the Sri Lanka National Library Services Board and so forth. So there is a lot of opportunities where the library science and library information services is taught in Sri Lanka. So if we can collaborate at least the Books for Asia program to pick up selected libraries where we have donated books to train these librarians so that they will get more interested in the field and also have a more methodical library of collecting books and retrieving information, I think it will be a good idea for the Books for Asia program to develop in this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Anton. We are just slightly over time here, but I do want to give all of our speakers, Anton Vijetha in Sri Lanka and Melody and Steve here in San Francisco, an opportunity to add any final thoughts before we close the call.
I would just say please visit our website, www.booksforasia.org. There's a wealth of information there, and please do not hesitate to contact me. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone in our audience, for joining us today and dialing in. We're most grateful for your ears and for your time. And again, I will echo Melody's sentiments in that feel free to contact us in the future, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you.